It's Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Thank you very much, Nicole. Nicole keeps us up to date on sports, which is so important for all of us here in New England. And if you're watching the basketball game, you can turn the audio down and you can listen to Nightside or the hockey game or the baseball game. My name is Dan Ray, the host of Nightside, here every Monday through Friday night from 8 until midnight. And you can jump on board the Nightside train, or you can sit here on North America's back porch, and we'll take you all the way to midnight. We have three interesting topics coming up. We'll get to the first topic in a moment. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight, we're going to talk with Professor John Risvey. He is an expert in what's called ChatGPT. I had an interesting conversation with him this afternoon. For all of you out there who don't know what ChatGPT is, don't worry. By the end of the hour, you will know it well. It is probably the latest development on the artificial intelligence area that all of us at some point really deal with on a daily basis, particularly those of us who have computers. At 10 o'clock tonight, we will talk about professional tennis player, arguably the best in the world, Novak Djokovic, who once again has been denied entry into the U.S. by Homeland Security because he is unvaccinated against COVID. He has had COVID twice, so you could argue that he might have some natural immunity. And it seems to me a little inconsistent, indeed hypocritical, contradictory, that we have wide open borders with people from all parts of the world coming across, and we have no idea what their vaccination status is. We have to keep out the greatest tennis player of his time. I guess it's good for the tennis players who are rated second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, but I don't know. I think probably a lot of fans would like to see Novak Djokovic at his height. We'll get to that at 10 o'clock. But first off, want to welcome back my friend, Reverend Gene Rivers. Reverend Eugene Rivers, the pastor of the Azusa Christian Community and also president of the Ella J. Baker House in Dorchester. Reverend Rivers, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Thank you, my friend. How are you doing, Dan?
Doing just great. And, you know, it's interesting. You and I talked earlier today, and we're going to talk about really a story that the Boston Globe broke over the weekend. Andrea Estes broke this story. There's charges of racism and discrimination against black employees, vendors, and convention guests at the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority down by the seaport. It's a very interesting article that she wrote. The thing that interests me most about it, we're going to get into some of the specifics here, Reverend Rivers, but the thing that, sure, that interests me most, and actually I think gives us some hope, is that this is not lining up, you know, with black people on one side and white people on the other. There is concern that's being expressed not only by City Council Mike Flaherty, who's from South Boston, and South Boston State Senator Nick Collins. It looks like the leadership of this institution is being called into question. You've read the article. Let's just, if we can, Jane, before we get you to weigh in here, and I want people just to know what we're talking about. In the article in the Globe on Sunday, it says that there is an increasingly bitter debate over alleged racial discrimination. There are no black employees among the authorities' 25 highest paid employees. No diversity officer with this institution. During the past month, four black employees have filed formal complaints with the state attorney general charging racial discrimination in hiring, promotion, and working conditions. A fifth employee, who is white, also filed a complaint. This is according to the Boston Globe, Andrea Estes' piece, alleging that he was given warnings after objecting loudly to what he considered the heightened security at black-sponsored events. He was fired shortly after filing that complaint. His name is Robert O'Shea. This is interesting, and the focus of criticism seems to be directed at the executive director, David Gibbons, who was appointed to this leadership position in 2015 when right. Governor Baker controlled the board of directors here. There's a lot of facts in Andrea's article. And again, we don't want to make any conclusions here, but when I read this article as closely as I did today, there seems to be a lot of people kind of saying the same thing, Reverend Rivers. What's your take on this?
My take is, number one, that there are enough, based on your last point, actually, there is enough concern expressed by reasonable people. In other words, some of the individuals expressing concern, City Council Flaherty, a number of the issues justify. Number one, we don't have the usual suspects playing the race card. That's the first thing. That's the first thing we should point out, right? Mm-hmm. So this is not a case where our local versions of what would be my good friend Al Sharpton, those noisy, strident rhetoric, over-the-top accusations. There's none of that. Esty's piece is not a screed. She's a tough character in any event, right? I've known Adrian for close to over 30 years, right? So the thing that's most important is that the research for the article and the concerns expressed by a range of people justifies at the minimum a thorough investigation of the allegations, right? A thorough investigation of the allegations in some impartial way. So first is the allegations. And then secondly, there needs to be a thorough investigation of the process and procedures as they currently stand. How do we account for what appear to be racial disparities? Again, putting aside strident rhetoric, being reasonable, and letting the facts speak for themselves. So I think that this is actually a very healthy context because it does not break down, as you pointed out correctly, Dan, black-white. So this is not black versus white. So we don't have that boring, you know, kind of a scenario. Number two, the state attorney general we're calling, and I expressed the concern, let's have a full-fledged, transparent investigation of the facts. And let the facts speak for themselves through a process. And so we want the attorney general, the state attorney general, to examine this. And then, you know, aside from that, there's sort of a fairly basic common sense question. Why does it appear that that there is a scarcity of black people being employed by the convention center? And now, is that because in Boston, of all cities, there are no qualified black people that are
about that?
Right. No. And here again, Dan, you know, I like the way you framed it because I think there is a way where there can be common ground across the board. This is not sounding, and I have not heard, you know, strident rhetoric from any of the what we'll call the usual suspects. I think that there is a general consensus that we have some issues that are correctable. And with a rigorous, transparent investigation, we can get to the bottom of this. And frankly, the folks that have worked to bring this to our attention are to be applauded for at the very least suggesting that we should put a flashlight on this.
Yeah, and by the way, Reverend, just to underscore what you say, the Convention Center Authority, again, this is a reading from the Boston Globe here. I want to, you know, attribute it to Andrea Estes, employs nearly 400 people, and they run two of the most high-profile public spaces in Boston, the 516,000 square foot convention center at the Seaport. That's nearly a million square feet. Half a million square feet.
Yeah.
As well as the Heinz Convention Center in the Back Bay, which is smaller, But the authority also runs the Boston Common Garage and apparently owns the Mass Mutual Center out in Springfield, which is managed by a private company. And the point is that it seems to me that there should be a representation amongst the employees at at a facility like this that is somewhat reflective of the city of Boston. So let us do this. Let us do this if I can, Gene. I got to take a quick break. I think we've set the table. I'm hoping to hear from a lot of people in Boston on this one. I would say
from all sides.
I would say just for the record that we did not reach out today to the general manager, the executive director, excuse me. His name is David Gibbons, but he is more than welcome to join us anytime later this week or next week. But I felt it would be unfair to sort of have a debate over this. Let's get the issues out, and then if he wants to respond, he's more than welcome to come on to Nightside as well. We'll take a break. If you'd like to join the conversation, you don't have to be an employee of the convention center to join the conversation, but if you are a resident of Boston, or for that matter, Greater Boston, when people come to Boston, when tourists come, when big events come, which, by the way, generate a lot of tax money for Boston, they should be respected. At the same time, I think that the people who are greeting them on behalf of the city of Boston should be representative of the city of Boston.
Yeah.
Across the board.
It should reflect the diversity. It should reflect the diversity, the healthy, you know, dynamic diversity of the Commonwealth, of the city.
And particularly if we want to somehow shed what I think you and I both feel were accurate but now out-of-date depictions of the city that you and I both love. So let's take a break.
Absolutely. We'll come back.
617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, or 617-931-1030. If you have been to the convention center and you want to talk to us how welcomed you felt, feel free. If you've been to the convention center and were received in less the welcoming manner that you would have expected, that's fine too. But again, we're going to walk our way through this. This truly is the way in which people are introduced to Boston, particularly if they're coming here for a big convention, whether it's doctors, lawyers, or whatever the group. I'm on with Eugene Rivers, Reverend Eugene Rivers, the pastor of the Azusa Christian Community and the president of the Ella J. Baker House, which is affiliated with the Azusa Christian Community. We will be back on Nightside. Love to hear from you on this one. Feel free. Coming back on Nightside.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's news radio.
With me is Boston's Reverend Eugene Rivers. He's a pastor of the Azusa Christian Community in Dorchester, also the president of the Ella J. Baker House. And we're talking about some serious allegations of discrimination against black employees, vendors, and convention guests at the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. Reverend, what I want to do is get to phone calls here and see what the people have to say. I think you and I have kind of laid out the facts. And let's get to it. Let's go to Jay in Waltham. Jay, you're first up tonight on Nightside. Welcome. How are you tonight, sir?
Good. How are you? And hello, Reverend Rivers. Nice to speak with both of you.
Greetings.
I just want to point out that in July, the NAACP will be hosting their national convention at the convention center. And it's really, you know, a moment for Boston and the area to show how welcoming it is of a city. And if these allegations either prove true or aren't really corrected before July, it could really put a stain on the city.
Yeah, I omitted. I did not mention that. I should have, to be honest with you. But I think it's very good that you mentioned that. I should have known that. But thank you for bringing it up, Gene. Feel free to react to Jay's comment.
Thank you so much for raising that point, because that fact that we're having this major conference in the city highlights the urgency of us addressing the issues surrounding the apparent discrimination, or if one wants to parse threads, addressing the absence, however mysterious we have arrived at that state of affairs, of a significant presence of black employees and professional personnel. It's a terrible thing. And Dan, you said it, I think, perfectly. Boston has had a complicated and not the most glorious history with regards to race relations over the last 60 years. Thank God we have improved, and Boston is in a position to applaud the genuine efforts of all people of goodwill who have worked together, black and white and other, to make Boston a better city. It is therefore for that reason that it is absolutely essential that we address in the most balanced, impartial way the concerns and the experience of those who have been victims of discrimination in the convention center. And our caller is right on target by highlighting the fact that, it's not a good look. For us, a modern city, one of the most amazing cities in the world, that we have this apparent stain of injustice, unfairness, and what makes it even more remarkable, we have a highly educated population of black professionals in the city. So it's not like one could not find highly competent individuals of color to fill significant positions. And so what's really deep is that there's no rational reason for this state of affairs. We have competent people who, if just given the opportunity to perform, could enhance the quality of perceptions of this great city. And we must come together. We must come together and address this. It's not an insurmountable problem, but it is. We cannot deny that, in fact, it is a problem. And I'm so thankful for all of the people of goodwill, black and white, who are coming together and demanding justice for people who are talented and want to contribute to the quality of life for this great Commonwealth, and in particular the city of Boston.
Jay, I'll give you a final word. Go right ahead, sir.
I echo what he says, and I know from my work and my experience that a lot of people are trying to do things to make everything more equitable. And if it proved true that they're singling out black visitors to the center, that's got to be rectified yesterday, because when you have a room full of people from the NAACP and they're all being treated poorly, they're all going to go back to their home states and just talk about what a horrible environment that they had. So,
yeah, well, let's hope that that doesn't occur, and let's hope that that if these allegations have substance, that they will be addressed before July. And if these allegations lack substance, let's the facts take us to the truth.
Bring those out. Yeah, we'll bring those out.
Great.
If that's true.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate
your
call.
That's right. Absolutely. Thank you for your remark.
All right. Good night. We are at 8:30, which means we're ready for the news at the bottom of the hour. Feel free to join the conversation. If you have a thought on this, if you were an employee at the convention center, or if you are an employee at the convention center, again, as I said, we certainly would be more than happy to have the executive director. Most of the criticism seems to be directed toward the current executive director, David Gibbons. I did not want to put him in the awkward position tonight of having to respond to criticisms. But I wanted to give Reverend Rivers an opportunity to address it. And if Mr. Gibbons wants to join me anytime later this week or next week for a rebuttal. And again, there's been no allegations made. I'd like to emphasize Reverend Rivers is not making allegations. He's simply saying that the allegations that appeared in the Boston Globe story by Andrea Estes sound serious, and they need to be investigated fully,
which is my
position as well. So
yeah.
Let's take a quick break here, Gene. We got about 4 minutes. We'll get a newscast in, and we'll get back to some more phone calls, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030, or 617-931-1030, back on Nightside.
You're on Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Thank you, Nicole. On with my good friend, Reverend Eugene Rivers, pastor of the Azusa Christian Community here in Boston, in the greater Boston area, president of the Ella J. Baker House. We're talking about an article that broke in the Boston Globe on Sunday. Andrea Estes, who is a very well-respected reporter at the Globe, basically wrote a story, the headline, Massachusetts Convention Center Authority, that is the big building over there in the seaport that I think all of us are familiar with, The question is whether it discriminates against black employees, vendors, and convention guests. That is being charged by some employees. Several of the employees happen to be black. One of the employees who has also filed a complaint happens to be white. And Reverend Rivers is looking for a thorough investigation to get to the truth of the matter. And there are two fairly prominent South Boston politicians who I think are actually looking for the same, and that is City Council Mike Flaherty and South Boston State Senator Nick Collins. And as you said, Gene, this is not your traditional black versus white. This seems as if there are people on both sides, and let's get to the bottom of it. And let's go to Steve in Cambridge is up next. Steve, welcome back to Nightside. Missed you a couple of weeks. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Dan. Good evening, Reverend Rivers. Rivers, I was a little disappointed because you began saying there should be an unbiased, careful examination to see if there is indeed or in fact illegal discrimination going on there. But then you went on to start talking about victims of the convention center and demanding justice. It sounds to me like you've convicted them before they've even been tried.
Not at all. And if I gave that impression, I apologize. I apologize. What I am saying, number one, there should be a thorough, impartial investigation that addresses whether or not there has been racially discriminatory conduct or treatment of certain individuals. That's number one. My second point, in fact, is that even if we assume that there was no bad faith on the part of anyone and that everyone is metaphysically innocent, there's still an issue which speaks to whether or not the environment, for whatever reason, does not appear to be welcoming to perfectly innocent people who have, for whatever reason, they have had a bad experience at the convention center. So, number one, I want to underscore this. Look, I said and I stand by, there needs to be a thorough, a vigorous investigation of the charges to, and to seek to identify whether or there are patterns, not one-off incidents, right, but a pattern of racial discrimination. There should be that investigation. In addition to that, we have to address the fact, regardless of as to the guilt or the sources of that, what's going on at the convention center, which would produce the level of discomfort, right, on the part of those are my two concerns.
But when you say a level of discomfort, I mean, that sounds so vague. And we don't know that there are any guests of the convention center who have voiced complaints that they feel they've been racially discriminated against. And if you and Dan feel that we have to have that there has to be a certain number of blacks and a certain number of Asians and certain number of white people on the, that talks about quotas.
Preferential hiring. No preferential hiring. But let me correct you now. I have talked to people who have been to the convention center, and these are not partisans that are looking to play the race card, right? So let me correct you. There are people that have had the experience at the convention center, more than a few, that have expressed their concerns. So your people are innocent until proven guilty. What we must address, and here again, there needs to be a thorough investigation. What might the conditions be at the convention center, right? I'm going to bend over backwards, right? That would lend itself to the levels of discomfort that I've had personally reported to me by folks. Because when I heard the concerns, I undertook my own kind of investigation. I said, I called some folks that, have some history at the conventions. I said, yo, man, I just want to check this out. I don't want this to be a case of somebody being cute and playing the race card at some other innocent people's expense. So I sought myself to talk with a range of folks whose judgment I trusted, who were not racial hustlers, if you will. And I said, what's happening? They said, listen, man, there's some there. He said, I'm not one, the people that I spoke to, I'm not one who's predisposed to playing the race card every time I see a white person. I don't do that. And the people that as I pointed out to you, I sought people whose judgment I trusted. I did not ask any racial hucksters, right? Yo, man, how can we exploit these white people and play the race card, right, and create division? No, didn't do that, my friend. I went to reasonable people who are professionals and have no track record of playing the race card and playing to partisan racial disadvantage. I went to individuals, all of whom said, A, I've had the experience, B, I know others. Now, if that's the case, sir, there at the very least needs to be some exploration of what would contribute to that state of affairs.
Let me jump, if I could, just for a second, gentlemen. And Steve, I thought it was interesting that both City Council Mike Flaherty and South Boston State Senator Nick Collins are very concerned with the leadership of the convention center. And again, there's been no conclusion made, but normally in the past, you would expect the convention center is very close to South Boston, and you would expect that Flaherty, traditional Boston politicians like Mike Flaherty and Nick Collins would have jumped into the fray and immediately been defensive of the leadership of the convention center. And I think it's interesting, Dan, that, Gene Rivers is a very fair guy.
Know that Reverend Rivers is fair, and I know that Reverend Rivers takes the time to explain himself and discuss issues very moderately with people, and I respect and am grateful for that. But I'm also a little suspicious of politicians jumping in when they might get some attention that will make them look good. I'm not necessarily judging them, but I don't think that's prima facie evidence that they're, because they're from South Boston, that they're going to be fair on this matter.
Well, what I'm saying
May I just jump in on this?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, Gene. Go ahead.
You see, my friend, I would ask you to accord these gentlemen the same generosity that I have accorded those who were whose behavior is now being questioned. I did not approach this with a presumption of guilt on the part of the leadership of the convention center. What I said, and I was, I'm impressed. I said, listen, every individual is innocent until proven guilty.
Amen.
That applies to the leadership of the convention. All right, that's it. Proposition number two, every politician that has tried to engage this issue, right, in good faith, are also, it should be noted, innocent until proven guilty. So extend the same generosity to our friends, Flaherty and Collins.
I'm going to give that very serious thought on your suggestion, and I thank you for it.
All right, Steve, thank you for the call, and you're always always very thoughtful with your approach, and I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you much.
Good night, gentlemen.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
We'll take a very quick break. Back with Reverend Eugene Rivers talking about a lead story, well, big story in the Boston Globe on Sunday, which I think needs to be looked at and looked at carefully. And if the let the chips fall where they may here, and if the reputation of the convention center's leadership has been unfairly called into question, let's get to the bottom of it, and let's make sure that that the truth of these events is brought forward. That's all I'm asking, and that's all Gene Rivers is asking, and I think that is also what Steve from Cambridge is asking. Got to take a quick break. Back with Reverend Rivers and some more phone calls. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. We'll get you in. There's also one line open at 617-931-1030.
Nightside with Dan Ray on WBZ, Boston's News Radio.
Back to the calls for Reverend Eugene Rivers here on Nightside. Vinny is in East Boston. Vinny, you are next on Nightside with Reverend Eugene Rivers talking about allegations of discrimination at the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, Dan, the only time I have gone to the convention center was when they were going to, I think there was Joyce. Was Joyce the director from South Boston?
Yes, he was the director. I would have to go back and double check the years, but that goes back a ways, I think.
Well, and then, there was a Menino. They were going to have a convention for all of Boston. All community leaders come to the convention and discuss different problems. Man, Menino didn't want it, but Joyce insisted that I came to the convention center. So my only thing with the convention center, they were nice to everyone. I met people from all over the city,
okay,
all different races, all different whatever, and it seemed like people got along. I think, Reverend Eugene, when is the last time you've been to East Boston?
Let me see. Actually, a couple of months ago, I'll tell you the context. There is a minister, a pastor in East Boston who... from the Assemblies of God.
Pastor Dave.
Now, in fact, I was with Pastor Dave today in a meeting in Roxbury, and I'm a big fan of Pastor Dave, and I come over to East Boston because he is a great brother who's doing excellent work trying to save the kids in the public schools. And we meet on a regular basis. And so Pastor Dave is my pastor over in East Boston.
Okay. Well, Vinny, I'm glad that you guys were able to connect over Pastor Dave. I got a couple of more calls I want to get to. I'm glad that you had a good experience the time that you were there. Thanks, Vin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you. Good night.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, let me go to Mike in Rhode Island. Mike is in Rhode Island next on Nightside with Reverend Eugene Rivers. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, Dan, I have a criticism of yourself for a minute.
Sure.
Let's see. Earlier in the program, he said that they made the inference that there's no allegations and so forth in this article in the Boston Globe. And then in the same sentence, or the following sentence, he talked about, I think his name is David Gibbons, I believe it is. He's the director and
he
so forth.
He's the executive director. And, yeah.
Is he a director? Okay. All right. But you didn't give it, but you said you'd reach out. You know, you weren't making any allegations against him, I believe. I don't want to misquote you. And but you know, we give him an opportunity to talk later in the week, or give a chance to
if you read the article, which I did, and I didn't want to read the entire thing. There was a letter sent by several black employees to the Attorney General's office here in Massachusetts, saying that the MCCA leadership has created an unwelcoming environment and culture for employees of color. We do not feel welcome at this institution. We're concerned that if we speak out individually, may lose our jobs or face retribution. So I'm not making the allegations. I'm simply saying these are the allegations that are in the Boston Globe.
And I don't know this gentleman.
If you wouldn't mind, let me finish, Mike, then I'll give you your opportunity. I wanted people to know that because he's the leader, he's the executive director, and he's named in this article, I did not want to call him and put him on the spot today, in this conversation without having an opportunity for people to talk about
it. But
and if he wants to come in anytime, he's more than welcome.
Okay, all right. But in that context, why wouldn't you defer this interview until maybe next week after you had a chance to speak with him to get his side so you can actually have a mutual discussion with this gentleman you have on the phone right now? And then, and this other gentleman,
Mike, in all honesty, I don't do a debate on every issue. This is a conversation. The Globe read this, published the story on Sunday. I took a couple of days to think about it, talk with Reverend Rivers, invited him on. It's an important story, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And I made the point that no, we did not reach out affirmatively to him today. He's more than welcome, because I'm sure he'll hear about this.
Right.
He's more than welcome anytime to come in, and he will have an hour to say
say. Yeah, but what you're doing is you're not directly, but you're indirectly kind of convicting him.
I'm not convicting anybody, nor is Reverend Rivers. We've said that these are mere allegations.
No, I disagree. I think the prudent thing would be to reach out to him, and if you're going to debate, because you know this is a hot issue.
This is not a debate. This is not intended to be a debate tonight. You know, Mike, again, Mike, let me ask you, are you associated with the Convention Center or not?
Sir, I'm sorry?
Are you associated with the Convention Center?
Me? No, not at all.
Okay, Reverend Rivers wants to say something. Hold on, Mike. Reverend Rivers wants to say something. Go ahead, Reverend.
Sir, go ahead.
Listen, you know, I take your points. However, you see, let me offer an alternative perspective. The article appears on Sunday. It's a hot issue.
Right.
What Dan has done is call for people to discuss this. This will not end this week or next week. So there's plenty of time for him if Dan should choose to do this. He's not ideologically or professionally obligated to. And let me say this. When we were prepping for this discussion this evening, Dan went out of his way to say, look, this is not going to be a bashing of the leadership of the convention. We're not going to do that. And so he asked me, I said, listen, no, hear me out. Listen, and my point to Dan, I said, look, I'm not going to try the guy, right? Let's do them in, right? My concern was, let's raise some sensible questions. We will not draw conclusions. The leadership will not be tried and convicted. But there are legitimate questions that are raised by the SB's article. We will not answer them this evening. And I went out of my way. And you've been listening. I went out of my way to say, look, the leadership should not be denied due process, right? I said that. They should not be denied due process, and there are some concerns expressed by, employees, former employees, and aside from all of that, the fact that there is the perception, perception is reality, right? There is the perception that this is not a warm environment. Well, that's a fair claim. It needs to be tested and evaluated. We don't rush to judgment, but we are not ideologically.
Gentlemen, Reverend Rivers, I'm coming up against a hard break. Mike,
okay,
I appreciate you.
Take your break, brother.
Break. Yeah, stay there. I want to thank you. Mike, I want to thank you for calling in and raising that issue.
Okay? Thank you, Mike.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
have a good night, sir.
Thank you so much.
To the callers on the line who would run out of time, I apologize. We'll get back to this at some point. Gene Rivers, as always, Reverend Rivers, thank you for your balanced perspective here. And, again, if the executive director wants to come on, he would be more than welcome here.
Absolutely.
Okay?
And Dan, thank you for hosting a balanced, fair, and tough discussion of the issues raised.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, my friend. We will come back, and we're going to learn everything you need to know about something perhaps you've never heard of, ChatGPT, after this.